What I want to do now is tell you about some of the results. So let's start with a family portrait of the Pluto system made by New Horizons. In the lower right, you can see Pluto in the distance. These images were made from many millions of kilometers away. This is actually the face of Pluto that we flew right over when we came closest. And if you look on the bottom right of the disk of Pluto, you can see the heart-shaped feature that we call Tombaugh Regio. I'll tell you a lot more about that. As we move upward, you can see the big satellite Charon, about half Pluto's size, and two of the four small moons of Pluto are shown in the upper left. That's Nix and Hydra. There are, in total, as I said, four small moons. They'd never been seen as anything but little points of light before New Horizons. And here they are revealed by our cameras. Now, realize our job and our main objectives were to get Pluto and Charon mapped, and their compositions mapped, and to study Pluto's atmosphere. So the study of the four small satellites was a secondary objective. And we didn't fly nearly as close to any of these as we flew to Pluto, or Charon for that matter. So the images aren't as good, but we still learned a lot. We learned their shapes and their sizes. We learned their composition. They're all big ice cubes made of water ice. We learned that they're all very highly reflective, which was a big surprise because they're as reflective as fresh snow. But they've been out there for billions of years, collecting micrometeoroid dust and being bombarded by radiation that should darken their surfaces. And nobody really understands how they can be so reflective after all this time. And if you're wondering, maybe they're young? They're not young. We count the craters on their surface, and we can determine their age. Here's how that works. You know, if it's raining outside the building, and you run outside with a piece of paper, and you know that the longer you leave it out in the rain, the more dots will appear, right? Well, the same thing is true in the solar system. It's always raining impactors, and the longer a surface is out in the rain, the more craters will form. So from the number of craters, we can calculate an age, and we did that. And these satellites are 3 to 4 billion years old. So the surfaces aren't fresh because they're brand new and recently formed. Something we don't understand is making them able to keep clean, more or less. I want to also show you that we think, because several of the satellites look like they are pairs that agglomerated together, that Pluto used to have more moons than it has now, that they've been accreting together to make the four that we now see. And here's another strange thing about those four. They're all tumbling very fast. They're spinning very rapidly compared to their orbital periods, which is unexpected. In the giant planet systems, the satellites typically orbit with a spin period that's exactly equal to their orbital period, because tides damp down their initial spin states to their orbital period. But in the Pluto system, something is exciting, injecting energy into their spin states to make them tumble a lot faster than they orbit. Look at the one on the outside, Hydra. It's like a football tumbling about 100 times for every orbit. And this was not at all expected. And in fact, we're not sure we even understand how it happens. We think it has something to do with Pluto-Charon as a binary and the way that it gravitationally interacts with these guys, but nobody's really proved that. So that's one of the great things about exploration is when you learn things you didn't expect. Now let's go on. This is Pluto's big moon, its companion, Charon, the other member of the binary pair. And here it is revealed for the first time. This is the face of Charon. It's mostly made of water ice. We know because we spectrally fingerprinted it. It has no atmosphere, but it sure got a lot of craters. And we can determine that it's as old as those small satellites. Basically, all the satellites formed together very long ago, around the time of the birth of the planets. If you look closely, you'll notice some of those craters have dark halos, and some have bright halos. Those halos are actually the stuff that was excavated when you make the hole in the ground of the crater in the impact. And so the fact that some are bright, some are dark, is telling us that underground on Charon, there's a lot of variation. And we can't find any pattern. It's not like the dark ones are all in the north towards the top and the bright ones are all in the south or east or west, or that the bigger ones are darker where you excavated deeper and the little ones are brighter. That's not the case either. It seems to be more or less random. So there's something complicated going on underground in terms of composition. We haven't yet figured out exactly the whole story there. If you look across the equator, you can see this massive canyon system. It runs for 1,200 kilometers. At some places, it's more than 100 kilometers wide, and it's more than 20 kilometers deep in some places. The geologists call it an extensional tectonic belt. What it means is it's a big crack. Yeah, they even have an acronym, ETB. So what actually happened here, we believe, is that when Charon was formed, of course, there was a lot of heat involved from that impact with Pluto. But slowly over time, the water ice in the interior froze. And you all know what happens when water ice freezes. It expands. And that created stresses on a massive scale that created this giant canyon system. It's the second largest canyon in the entire solar system. And then if you look at the North Pole, there's something really weird. There are polar caps all across the solar system, on the Earth, on Mars, on icy satellites. They're always bright white, except at Charon, it's a dark red stain. It's like an anti-polar cap in a way. What causes that? We think we figured that out. We published it in Nature last year. In fact, it made the cover in Nature. Pluto has an atmosphere. Remember, we knew that back in the 80s and 90s. That atmosphere is escaping to space, and it goes out in every direction symmetrically. Charon's in the way of some of it, so those molecules run into Charon. And they stick because it's very cold. It's coldest at the poles. And at the poles, those molecules can never evaporate, or what we call sublimate, ever again. So it's a permanent cold trap. The nitrogen and the methane, that are the predominant gases in Pluto's atmosphere, played out at the poles of Charon. And as the sun shines ultraviolet radiation on it, it processes those molecules into longer chain hydrocarbons and nitriles. And we actually went into a laboratory, took a vacuum chamber, recreated the conditions on the surface, put a cold finger in the vacuum chamber, put nitrogen and methane on the cold finger as a frost, shined a solar simulator on it, and it turned exactly that color. And we have a spectrum of that material. We compared it to the spectrum of the stuff on the cold finger. It's a dead match. Now, if this theory is right, the South Pole ought to have the same red polar cap, same dark stain. But currently, the South Pole of Charon and the South Pole of Pluto, too, are in permanent winter darkness, just like Antarctica is every year for a few months, except because Pluto's orbit's so long, 248 years. The winter pole will be in darkness for another 30 years. So mark your calendar. Somewhere in the late 40s, we can see if we were right. When that pole emerges into sunlight, we can use the successors to the Hubble Space Telescope to actually look and see. So stay tuned. Now, this is the pair together, Pluto and Charon. And I think everybody in the audience can tell they don't look much alike. Charon is dark and almost colorless, except where material from Pluto got on its pole. And Pluto is bright and seriously what we call variegated, meaning it's different from place to place, and it's pretty colorful by comparison to Charon. Now, that's kind of a puzzle in and of itself. These two objects have been orbiting together for billions of years, way out in that cold part of the solar system. They see the same temperatures. They get hit by the same bombardment population. They get the same amount of sunlight and other radiation falling on them, and yet they look completely different. Now, if two objects that have spent all this time together in the same environment can look that different, imagine how different the other planets of the Kuiper Belt will be when we visit them. We already have pretty good ideas just from Earth-based astronomy, that's a very heterogeneous population. I said it earlier, they have different compositions, different numbers of satellites. Some have atmospheres, some do not. Pluto and Charon are telling us that when we go explore those with spacecraft like New Horizons, we should expect to find a lot more than just what we find at Pluto and Charon. And I'm looking forward to the day that we do that. And our next decadal survey is coming up. And I hope that out of that decadal survey will be future missions to this very distant part of the solar system.